Our first reading for this 21st Sunday after Pentecost is found in the book of Acts, chapter 8. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this evening. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is an isolated area." So he got up and went, and there was a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way home, sitting in his chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, "Go over there and stay close to that chariot." Philip ran up to it and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will talk about his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. Starting with that very passage of Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. As they were traveling along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is there to prevent me from being baptized?" He ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they stepped out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. The eunuch did not see him anymore, but went on his way rejoicing. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes the Lord provides opportunities in the most unexpected places. Opportunities that can change a person's life or the trajectory, the life of a family, or even the future of a people, of a country. Now, Philip wasn't expecting to find that kind of opportunity when he headed down the road between Jerusalem and Gaza, kind of that area that's all on fire right now over in Israel. It was an isolated area, as we're told. But that's exactly what he found there. An opportunity that the Lord gave to him to change someone's life. Now, Philip, he was a God-fearing man. He had a good reputation among the apostles, and he had been chosen by the apostles to be one of the seven deacons or one of the seven leaders who were in charge of the widow welfare program in Jerusalem. That is, until his fellow deacon lost his life, was put to death for proclaiming the good news that Jesus was the Messiah. Under that cloud of persecution, kind of like a rock dropped into a pond and it ripples out like that, all these apostles, these disciples, these followers of Jesus just went off into all kinds of different directions. And Philip himself, he traveled just to the north of Jerusalem to an area called Samaria, to the homeland of the ancient rivals of the Jews. There among people who had taught their children to hate Jews and whom Jews had told their children to hate, the Lord provided an opportunity. Philip preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and many received that word of God with joy. Many were baptized, brought into God's family through water and the word. Lives were changed, families changed, the future of that people changed. And then Philip got unusual marching orders. An angel told him, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." That's where Luke tells us it was an isolated area. You kind of wonder, after preaching the gospel to crowds of people in villages and towns and cities, God sends Philip out into the boonies to the middle of nowhere to take the gospel to one man. Yet a life would be changed, and also a future for many people. So this Philip, he went down the road and he noticed a chariot trotting along. Inside was a man, clearly not from around here. There was a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasury. Now this kingdom of Ethiopia, it's Like if you look on a map and see Ethiopia, it's not the exact same place, but it's just south of Egypt in an area called we would call Sudan. And the man in that chariot was a grand high mucky muck in the government. He worked for and served the queen of Ethiopia, and she trusted him dearly. He was in charge of her treasury. He oversaw the money. He was a wealthy man with great authority. We know he's a wealthy man because, one, he's riding in a chariot, and, two, he's reading a scroll. You didn't just go and buy scrolls if you were a Jewish believer. Most people couldn't afford one. But he wasn't passing through the area on business. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way home, sitting in his chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. He picked a good scroll. This royal official had come to Jerusalem because he himself was a follower of the true God. He was a Gentile who had become a believer, and he was there for one of the Jewish religious festivals. He was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, and he was heading home, and he was reading a scroll containing the ancient prophecy of Isaiah, or was providing Philip with an opportunity. Now, the Holy Spirit told Philip, go over there and stay close to that chariot, and with Spirit-provided swiftness, because keep in mind, Philip is literally running alongside a chariot. He runs up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading aloud the prophet Isaiah. That's what they did. You didn't read inside your head, you read aloud. And the prophet, and this prophet of all the prophets, was one through whom God revealed so much about the coming Savior. And so as Philip's running alongside the chariot, he strikes up a conversation. Do you understand what you are reading? That was interesting. The man in the chariot doesn't think this is unusual. How can I unless someone explains it to me? He wanted to know what was going on. He didn't understand what he was reading. He needed a preacher to help him. And only then did the chariot come to a stop to let Philip up and into that chariot. Now, Luke tells us what portion of Isaiah's prophecy had stumped the eunuch. He couldn't get past the words of Isaiah 53, that beautiful section of God's word where the Lord practically takes the prophet to the foot of the cross and then takes him to the tomb on Easter morning. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, Isaiah wrote. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth, and his humiliation justice was denied him. Who will talk about his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? The eunuch had a question. I ask you, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? You can almost see the smile broaden across Philip's face in that moment. God was providing Philip an opportunity to change a life forever and making it really easy for him. The word of God was laid out right there in front of him. Starting with that very passage of Scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Now, who is the he in this passage? It's not Isaiah. It's not Israel. It's the Messiah who had come to suffer and die for the sins of the world. Now, let me tell you about him. Because guess what? He also rose from the dead. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. Philip then took the eunuch on a journey through prophecy after prophecy of the Old Testament to show this man Jesus, to help this man see his Savior, to bring him the goods of God's grace and peace and forgiveness and life through Jesus Christ, gospel goods that had changed Philip's life forever. And you know what? The man didn't kick him out of his chariot. Now that good news changed his life. And when they came up to some water, the eunuch asked to be baptized. What is there to prevent me from being baptized? And Philip's like, nothing. Chariot came to a stop, and they both stepped down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, when they stepped up out of the water, then Philip's work was done, and so the Spirit of the Lord whisked him away. Now, how that happened, we don't know. But one thing we do know is that in the meantime, while Philip was sent to another town, that eunuch, he went home rejoicing. The Spirit of the Lord had changed his life through the good news shared in the chariot that day by Philip, and Philip had brought him Jesus. And now that eunuch was taking Jesus to Ethiopia. What do you do when the Lord presents you with an opportunity to tell the good news of our Savior's love? You might get nervous. We get anxious, might not even say anything. Angels don't dramatically bring us messages. The Holy Spirit doesn't whisper in our ear. Yet the good Lord did give us eyes and ears to see and hear his opportunities, a brain to recognize and respond to them, legs to take us over to that opportunity, and a mouth to speak good news to hurting and broken hearts. He gives us opportunities all the time, sometimes in unexpected ways, sometimes in unexpected places, and perhaps simply to people we don't expect would need us to share the good news with them. But telling the story of our Savior's love isn't just about recognizing the opportunities and speaking scripture at them. No, it starts with that good news being preached or taught or shared or proclaimed to our hearts. We need Jesus for ourselves first. We can learn scripture passages all we want. We can work up a polished presentation. We can even learn all the best apologetical arguments to respond to today's objections. But if Jesus doesn't fill us up with his good news, it's all pointless. You see, without Jesus, my efforts to share the gospel with others will be like trying to drive a car down the interstate with the nearly empty, you better fill up the tank soon, light on. You'll get somewhere, but you may not get to where you want to go, and there's a pretty good chance you'll end up on the side of the road if the car dies on you. You see, there's so much that empties us. So much that leaves us broken down and hurting. So much that crushes us with guilt or worry or anxiety. We can't get through life on our own, let alone share that life-changing good news of Jesus with others on our own. Now, first, we need Jesus to fill us up with his comfort for our hurting hearts. We need Jesus to heal our brokenness. We need Jesus to bring us the relief of his forgiveness for our guilt. We need Jesus to bring calm to our troubled hearts and minds. We need that gospel good news of Jesus shared with us and proclaimed to us and preached to us before we can possibly share it with others. Only in view of that good news, only when we've been filled with Jesus, with hearts forgiven and healed and at peace with God, then we can see that the opportunities that the Lord presents to us, and it surprises us because those opportunities are all around us. Only then can we see the unexpected opportunities in unexpected places to share the good news that Jesus came to be the sinless sacrifice even for that unexpected person. That Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sins, to open the way between us and God with his holy, precious blood, and to give us life eternal. Now, sometimes the Lord uses our unique God-given callings to take us where he wants us to go, so his good news can be shared with that individual or that couple or that family that he wants to hear the gospel. Yet when the Lord presents the opportunity, we also need to be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have. Living a Christian life won't get anyone into heaven, but it may start a conversation, and we need to be ready to respond. So how will we be ready for such a conversation when the Lord presents the opportunity? He tells us to swing away. Go ahead. We get into his word. Yeah, we come to worship to be filled and fed with the gospel of Jesus for our hearts and lives, but we also need to spend time with Jesus in our personal devotional lives. Kind of like eating once a week if we only spend time with Jesus in worship. We have his attention when we take that time in his word and prayer. And we also get ready by spending time with our fellow believers in the study of God's word. We grow together as the body of Christ. And Jesus is there filling us up, equipping us for the task. And then he sends us out. Now, few if any of us, will ever have as dramatic an opportunity as Philip got there on that isolated road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Yet everything is there, even in the opportunities or even in our ordinary daily lives, for the Lord to accomplish his will and to get that gospel to the people he wants to hear it. The Lord presents the opportunity because countless souls are dying around us and they're headed for hell. The Lord gives us his word, that living power that gives life to dead hearts and opens the way to heaven. The Lord gives us mouths and minds and all our abilities to convey that good news of Christ. And then above all, the Lord gives us the privilege to share his forgiveness, to share him, to share his grace, to share his peace, even through fumbling, stumbling lips, you know, in those awkward moments when we try to share Jesus with someone and it doesn't quite come out as smoothly as we picture in our minds. But it's not our task to argue any soul into heaven. It's not our task to, it's not our responsibility to change their hearts. That's the Spirit's job. He works through the gospel, through the good news we share. Yes, even through fumbling, stumbling lips, to plant the seed of saving faith in that person's heart. After hearing that word, perhaps they might even want to be baptized, maybe even with their family, but again, that's the Lord's doing in their hearts. My friends, we need not fear the countless opportunities that the Lord gives to us. He presents opportunities to us day after day to share his good news with others. Look what Christ has done for you in your heart, in your life. Realize that surely he can do even more when we tell that story of our Savior's love to the people we interact with in our daily lives. May God give us those opportunities, and may he open our mouths, speak his gospel to human hearts. Amen.